From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Congress goes back to work today with a full agenda on legislation and the start of confirmation hearings for President Obama's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor makes her opening statement this afternoon as the Senate Judiciary Committee starts a week of confirmation hearings. She takes questions from the senators starting Tuesday, and 29 witnesses follow her. If confirmed, Sotomayor would be the third woman and the first Hispanic American on the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, the early August deadline seems to be slipping for an overhaul of the health care system. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus is wooing some Senate Republicans for a compromise bill, while conservative Blue Dog Democrats in the House object to a measure from the House leadership. And lawmakers may debate whether to investigate new allegations that former Vice President Dick Cheney told the CIA not to inform Congress about a counterterrorism program. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
The most prominent militant group in Nigeria says that for the first time, it has attacked an oil facility near the commercial capital. The imprisoned leader of the group was due to be released today as part of a government amnesty deal. NPR's Ophelia Quist-Arkton reports.
The Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta said it had carried out an unprecedented overnight raid on Atlas Cove Depot, an oil tanker facility in Lagos, setting it and tankers moored there on fire. The jetty is the main entry point for ships entering Nigeria's waters, where tankers load up with crude oil. This audacious attack is the first time the militants have targeted Nigeria's main economic center. Till now, militant raids have been limited to installations in the turbulent oil exporting region hundreds of miles south. Militant groups claim they're fighting for a fairer distribution of Nigeria's oil revenues, but the authorities dismiss them as criminals. President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua offered a 60-day amnesty last month to any militants who laid down their weapons. Ophelia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Accra.
In California, state legislative leaders say that they're making progress with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger on a deal to close the state's $26.3 billion budget deficit. They say they're hoping an agreement can be reached by the end of the week. Lawmakers from both parties say they have made headway following a weekend of closed-door meetings at the Capitol. They do acknowledge that a deal remains elusive. State Assembly Speaker Karen Bass says negotiators have days of talks planned and expressed optimism that discussions had not broken down. Prices have opened mixed on Wall Street. At this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 17 points to 81.63. The Nasdaq Deposit Index is down 15 points to 17.41. This is NPR News. Officials in a Chicago suburb have started the long process of identifying each of the 100,000 graves at a cemetery there. Four workers of the historic Burr Oak Cemetery have been accused of digging up about 300 bodies to resell burial plots. Chicago Public Radio's Susie Ahn reports.
The Cook County Sheriff's Department has received more than 7,000 written requests to help find relatives buried at the cemetery in South Suburban Alsip. So far, they've only been able to process a fraction of those requests. A spokesman for the sheriff calls the cemetery's record-keeping disastrous, saying it's hampered efforts to match names with collected data. The investigation is expected to go on for months, and the cemetery has been declared a crime scene and is now closed. Meanwhile, several lawsuits have been filed against the cemetery, and Illinois' comptroller is trying to revoke the owner's license. The cemetery is known for several historic graves, including that of civil rights-era figure Emmett Till and blues singer Dinah Washington. For NPR News, I'm Susie Ahn in Chicago.
President Obama has invited political leaders, city advocates, and policymakers to the White House today. He wants them to help his administration to start writing a national policy on urban areas. During the day-long meeting, the president plans to speak to urban leaders about his team's first steps. Senior members of the administration from the Departments of Housing and Urban Development, Labor, and Transportation plan to participate. In February, the president created a White House Office of Urban Affairs, which has mostly remained out of public sight. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.